And everybody said, praise the Lord. Oh, come on. Is that the best you can do? After that rousing presentation, and you're thinking about Summer Fun Fest and going to a restaurant after the service? Praise God. Wednesdays are wonderful, but most people look like they've been drug here behind a 6x truck. They're just a little tired, praise God. I'm excited about being here. Would you join with me in prayer this evening for this service? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can come together in your perfect, precious name. We're asking, God, that you would anoint my lips of clay. We're asking, Lord, that you bind every spirit that would come against this meeting. We ask, Lord, that you release your Holy Ghost power upon these people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise God. Excited about going on our annual vacation. And can't wait to get there. Probably won't be able to. You know, people talk about giving blood. We went up to Canada, and I gave more blood to those mosquitoes than you possibly could have imagined. So I feel I'm going to be a double donor here when I go up to Three Lakes, Wisconsin, because the mosquitoes are as big as hydroplanes, and you can hear them coming. Praise God. So I'm going to be giving my blood up there once again to the little insects. Praise God. Anybody have Zika virus today? Oh. No wonder. Isn't it a strange world we have here? Listen, you cannot pick up a newspaper until you see something that's just totally bizarre and crazy, and some of the ways that things are happening and unfolding makes you just want to lift up your hands and say, come quickly, O Lord, because it doesn't make any sense. Things that people are saying and doing, and praise God. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you would turn to Mark, the 9th chapter in the 23rd verse. Praise God. Very familiar passage of Scripture. The Lord led me to this a little while back. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Everybody say, all things are possible. Praise God. Well, I want to tell you tonight, even though all things are possible, you still have to receive them. Of all the great, wonderful promises in this book, they really don't mean anything. Every promise, every verse in the Bible are ours. We used to sing that song. I'm trusting in his love divine. But the promises do not become yours until you receive them. Matthew 11:15, Jesus was talking. He said, if you will receive it, if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears, let him hear. So tonight's message, the title is Going from Believing to Receiving. Praise God. I looked it up and I found out there are 31,103 verses in the Bible. That's amazing, isn't it? Out of those 7,000 of those 31,000 verses are promises in the Bible. 7,000. And now, once you read the report of how many Christians are in the world, I was amazed when I found out there's 2.2 billion Christians in the world of various, obviously, forms. But out of those 2.2 billion, it was said that over 500 million are Pentecostal slash charismatic. And that's good news until you realize they don't have all the truth. So then you go further, you find out in United Pentecostal Church International, there's about 4 to 5 million people. And I know there's other oneness groups out there. So it comes down to, if you take that 4 to 5 million and you take Jesus' formula of 25% of the word that is sown in different types of soil, 25% is about all we're going to look at. Praise God. Wide is the gate, but narrow is the way, straight is the gate, and few there are that will find it. So, you know, it seems ironic to me that every single year we celebrate all over the world Pentecost Sunday, and 2.2 billion Christians celebrate Pentecost Sunday, but only a fraction of those people have ever experienced Pentecostal experience. Baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. There's so many things that we profess, even when we sing songs, like we sang when you say, I believe every word that was sung tonight. How many here tonight believe that God heals your body? Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you ever received a dramatic healing that you knew it was God, and if it wasn't for God, there'd be, look at the number of people. That's the difference between Christians who say they believe and Christians who have received. But praise God. We are in a world that is desperate for something real, something that will take them from darkness into light. If we don't believe the things that we speak about, they're just marks on a paper, and we have no power to give them to any of us. You know, we have received, most of us have received these wonderful promises that we talk about all the time. And when you receive them, you won't wonder if you've let Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior. Your life will turn around. There will be a dramatic change in the way you think and talk and walk. And, you know, when every sin is removed from your soul, there is something that just resonates in your body. I cannot get enough of Pentecost. I can't get enough of being in the house of God. I can't get enough of the Word of God, because I want more than what God has allowed me to have so far. And I realize that I am the only one that can proceed in this journey. Your pastor can't get you there. People next to you can't get you there. Your wife can't get you there. You will stand alone in the sight of God and give an account for your life. Isn't that exciting? Well, it's kind of exciting. A lot of it depends on how you're living, to be honest with you. You know, I still can remember the day I was baptized. You know, when every sin has been removed from your heart, you know it. You don't know how you know it, but you know that you know that you know. And it's such an amazing transformation. Praise God. I like to relive it. Every morning I get up and I like to just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the darkness of this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Unless you were born into this and you're second or third Pentecostal, most of us came to this church or to the Pentecostal movement with a highly developed system of unbelief. We were taught by some of the best unbelievers in the world, from the doctors to the professors to those people many times in our own family that had false doctrine. So we had all this junk in our trunk, praise God. And we had to get all that stuff out before we could start receiving. I didn't realize this until just recently. The junk in the trunk meant a big something. But you know what? It's still junk in the trunk. Call it like it is. I feel crazy tonight. That's you guys better watch out. Oh, praise God. It's being recorded? Are you serious? Oh, my. Meanwhile, back at the pulpit. Praise God. Anybody relate to this unbelief system? Everything that was told to you from the time you're old enough to receive information till the day I walked into this door and repented of my sins and was baptized in Jesus' name, 98% of it was false. Think about it. Hey, this kid just punched me in the nose. I get a size 11 in the back of my trunk. And would you believe my dad said, get out there and punch him back. When he said, turn the other cheek, he never said that. He just said, this is how life is. Hallelujah. But it's not like that in the kingdom of God. And I'm so thankful for that. Praise God. You know, we all had to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Every single day, we need to be transform, because every day the world pours things into our hearts, and we receive it not because we're looking for it, because it's by osmosis. It's just out there. I think this is why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you don't have to stop but a couple days, and you'll find yourself leaning towards something that's not right with God. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with verse number 3. God's already given us everything we need to make this journey. According as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life, they're already ours. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we have been given these, and we believe that we've been given these, but the part that I'm trying to get you tonight, between believing and actually receiving it, that's something that we have to work on as long as we are alive. And I don't know about you, but personally, I'm no longer satisfied with just another good church service. I just don't feel like going to another meeting with Pentecostals, and I'm not anti-meeting. I'm just saying we need to understand what we have and what we could have if we would receive these precious promises. I want to get into my spirit a hunger and a thirst after God's righteousness, God's power, God's anointing. Matthew 5 and 6, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Praise God. You know, when we're really, truly seeking after Jesus, you know God's going to move exactly what his word tells us he's going to do. I don't know about you, but I'm seeking supernatural power. In Luke 4:18, the Bible says, basically gives us our mission statement. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Praise God. Because he has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. If we're not preaching the gospel to the poor, we're in poor shape, spiritually speaking. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh my, there is tons of people all around in our lives that are brokenhearted. Life dealt them some things that are very, very difficult to understand, and they have taken a negative viewpoint of the world and the things that God has for them. Many times people actually blame God for the things. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God allow that to happen? How come my dad was an abusive alcoholic or all these things? Why didn't God do something? Hey, you've got to just buck up, square your shoulders, pretend like you're in your right mind, and continue to walk the walk. Praise God, praise God. You know, we have been called, the Bible says we have been chosen. In fact, we were chosen before the foundation of this world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you feel like that every morning when a guy cuts you off in traffic? Oh, but I'm the called and the chosen. I'm faithful. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. No, you think how fast I can go to cut him off. Until suddenly the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and you begin to realize that, hey, I'm headed in the wrong direction. Praise God. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. My, what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is that you and I, if we'll take the time to be sensitive to the Word of God and the people around us, we can let them know what they have to do to be delivered. Praise God. And recovering of sight to the blind. People are blind, my friend, when they do not feel or sense the presence of God. People are spiritually blind. The Bible says they have ears they cannot hear. They have eyes they cannot see. And they'll never see unless you and I get a burden for them to receive what God has already given them. Praise God. And God said he would take the spirit of heaviness. Praise God. There's so much depression going on in this world. So many things that are negative that people get overwhelmed with negativity. But God said, I want to take the spirit of heaviness from you and I want to give to you the garment of praise. Why do we worship like we worship? Because when you begin to lift up your hands and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you realize that the one who said, let there be light, is right here in this place. And he wants to give to you everything you need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mark 16:17. Praise God. These are signs that we are supposed to have if we are baptized and filled with his Holy Ghost. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Praise God. We have any devil chasers here? Praise God. There's two. All right. Anybody have something we want to work on? They shall speak with new tongues. Mark 16:18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you are a born-again believer who been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you better get a hold of these signs and make sure that you are involved in these things, because these are the, if you don't have any of these signs, you ask yourself, am I really a believer? Praise God. If you have not received them, you really don't believe it. Now, the world does not need more religion. Amen. It needs freedom from religion. What it needs is apostolic power and anointing. When people come into this building, I've had so many of them that I've called and said, I don't know what you guys have going over there, but I've never felt anything like I felt when I walked into this room. And the preaching and the singing, it just did something to me. Praise God. Where is your background? And they tell me, they said, we don't speak very loud in church, and we're not encouraged to lift up our hands, but I felt such freedom. Praise God. We walk into this three times a week. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we have been chosen by God to execute his will on earth as it is in heaven. Do you ever think about that? God's will can't proceed past where we're willing to execute that will. Praise God. Two or more gathered together in my name agreeing on any one thing, it shall be done to them. Whatever is bound in heaven shall be bound in earth. This is power that we know is available, but most of us have not received it. So tonight, I'd like to share with you just one way to receive the promises of God through the power of proclamations. I read a chapter in a book here a while back and talked about the power of proclamations. It was from a man who I highly esteem, been in the ministry for over 43 years. And he said that when he began to use proclamations on a daily basis, he saw things in his ministry unfold that he'd never seen before. These are the two scriptures he always started with before he had people follow him in the proclamation. Jeremiah 33:3. I love this scripture. Call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God, I love that. Call on me. Get off your cell phone and call on Jesus Christ. He's not on Facebook. He's in your heart, and all you have to do is call on him, and he promised he will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. We live in a generation that is bombarded by media, and we have young people that spend 8 to 10 hours a day on media. Listen, if you spend 8 to 10 hours communicating with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, can you imagine what would happen in your life? Oh my goodness, it would be amazing. Hallelujah. I'm not against media. I'm just telling you, you have to get your priorities straight. First things first, in Jesus' precious name, Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come, concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. When's the last time you gave God a command? We have a little problem with that, but this is what he tells us to do. We're supposed to come boldly to the throne room. Boldly to, he's looking for people who are willing to step out of the boat and begin to proclaim things that have not happened yet. Praise God. It is a dimension that I believe God's taking this church in, because the way we're going now, I think we're going in a the right direction. I think our pastor has led us and is leading us into some things that we've never seen before. And I'm excited about it, Brother Silas. I'm excited about what God wants to do. But we've just touched the tip of the iceberg. Praise God. I decided when I went up to Ashland, Wisconsin, I was going to try this proclamation out, see if it actually worked. So I led the whole church to speak out loud the following proclamation. So you understand here, there's like 30 people up at Ashland, wonderful people, beautiful little church, but it's like we'd have a little group here in the Bible study room over there. So first we made these bold proclamations. When you make a proclamation, it's not like a prayer. You're going to the throne room of God. You're going there and you are proclaiming his word. You're not just saying, oh, Lord, help. No, in the name that is above every name, I pray right now, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost touch my mother and my father, for you are not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's a proclamation, my friend. Hallelujah. And after we give the proclamation, then we lift up our hands and we begin to give him thanksgiving because I believe what I just said, that I have the authority to say it, and he's already promised that he was going to do it. So I lift up my hands. I had them all lift up their hands, and we began to thank God for what he was going to do. And after that, we all praised God together in unison. I mean, it was so powerful. You know, my wife was there. It was like, wow, it was like heaven's waiting for some marching orders. God desperately wants to get into our church services. He wants to get into your life. He wants to take care of all of your need according to his riches and glory. But it can't be any of this casual prayer. It's got to be militant. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Praise God. Something has got to well up in you. But let's just go over what I had them proclaim. And God, because you are not willing that any should perish, we pray that every hungry soul would come to repentance and or filled or renewed with your spirit. Pour out your spirit in this service. God, heal every sickness in this. These are all promises. You know, if we don't proclaim them, they're not going to happen. Occasionally someone's healed, but when we all bind together in one mind, in one accord, something has got to happen. This book cannot be, it will not come back void. Hallelujah. And then we pray, pour out your spirit in this service. The second one we pray, God, heal every sickness in this place. People come into this building sick. They shouldn't leave sick, not with the promises of God. Now, if you're going to put together some proclamations, you want to put scripture to them, but at that point, I didn't have the time to do it. God, heal every sickness in this place and take the spirit of heaviness and replace it with a garment of praise. I don't know why I feel depressed. I don't know why this is happening to me, but my God has promised me he would take the spirit of heaviness from me. I wake up in the morning with the spirit of heaviness. I go to bed at night with the spirit of heaviness. I am not going to stop proclaiming the garment of praise until God lets it fall on my heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. We prayed that God would heal every broken heart. Every broken heart. And we pray you loose those who are bound and set the captives free. Praise God. Oh, broken hearts. I could go on and on about that. God, we pray that you tear down every stronghold that's been set up in the minds of your people. We bind spiritual wickedness in high places. Release your people, let your people go. Hallelujah. Let your people go. Hallelujah. If you're bound up today, you need to proclaim victory. You're not going to feel it the first time you proclaim it. You're going to have to continue to proclaim it until such a time where you that is released. You know, the Bible talks about you sow a seed until it dies, it abideth alone. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. I don't care how desperate the situation is. I don't care how far your loved ones have backslidden or never have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you make a proclamation for your loved ones every single day with all holy boldness, I believe with all my heart that we're going to see your aunts and uncles and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters walk down this aisle and are going to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we pray, God, release your warring angels in this house. Are they not ministering spirits sent to the heirs of salvation? My friend, we have the authority to call angels into our services. Many times people tell us, did you see that? Or I felt something or whatever. But hey, we have the authority to call them. Praise God. And I'm not talking about Clarence. I'm talking about some guys that know how to fight. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, we offer up at the end. We all prayed. We all said this proclamation. God, we offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. And we pray with all of our hearts that your holy presence fills this place in the precious name of Jesus Christ. When we prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, the heaven just opened up. And the Holy Ghost came down in such a marvelous, marvelous way. It was amazing. You know, I felt like I didn't know what was going to happen. I'm just following what I felt God wanted me to do in the Holy Ghost. Would you believe there were 30 people there in that dynamic service? Five of them were not saved. Four of them were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In an instant, within a few minutes at the altar call, four of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. They all came back that night, and they were baptized into the precious name of Jesus Christ. And it's because we had everybody proclaim, and I did it very slow, and I said, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to proclaim. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000, how much power would we release if we had 200 people in one mind, in one accord? Praise God. That's the kind of church I want. I want an apostolic, tongue-talking, blood-washed church that is clothed with God's righteousness. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We had one lady that was saved. She had just lost her husband, and would you believe she was suffering from a broken heart? And they told her she's just not ready for this. And Sister Thomas went over there, talked to her, and a couple of minutes later, she was speaking in other tongues. There were a couple of gangbangers there from Milwaukee that were hiding from the authorities or the gangs that were trying to kill them. They both repented. They both were delivered from their addictions. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. And there's one other guy that I really like because he was, throughout the whole service, he was a once saved, always saved guy. And when we prayed that last prayer that God would pour out his spirit, he was stunned by the power of God. And then we slipped in and got him praising God. He says, I don't believe this. I said, just lift your hands. If it doesn't work, then we'll believe your story. About that. Next thing you know, he's speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God. God can do anything. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, Isaiah shows us a little bit behind the scene. What really happens when we do this proclamation business? In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the 10th verse, kind of gives us an explanation. Isaiah 55:10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it shall give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper unto the thing whereto I sent. You notice it said, in my word that goes forth out. When God speaks, and he spoke these promises hundreds and thousands of years ago. He spoke a word, but it was propelled by his Spirit. And when we speak, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, that same principle works for those people who are ready to receive the power of God. If your heart is right and you've memorized Scripture, we can boldly proclaim his word over our church services, our family, our city, our country. And it releases the power of God into these situations. Look what it says here in Psalms 103:20. Praise God. We need to get more throne time. We need to get in boldly and begin to proclaim things, even if it doesn't make any sense to us. Even if we don't have faith, if you say it enough, you begin to believe it. If you say, I believe God's going to deliver me from alcoholism, you want to know what's going to happen to you, alcoholism is going to leave you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalms 103:20, the Bible says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Everybody's saying that, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Praise God. 103:21, this is the kicker right here. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. That includes you and I. We are his ministers. Do we have any ministers in here? Everybody's hand should be up. Every one of us should be ministering to somebody or something. So we have this authority. When God hears you speak the word of God on behalf of situations in your life, you become the voice of that word. Your mouth and the Holy Spirit in you propels it out. His angels go to work and things begin to happen. Now listen, some people think, well, I tried this once and nothing happened. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. If you really love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will keep his commandments. And his commandments is not willing that anybody should perish and all should come to repentance. So we have so much to pray of God. And we have such a great God who's given us all these beautiful promises. I want to give you something here. The word proclamation comes from a Latin word that means shout forth. Proclamations are not spoken, they're shouted. Shout unto the Lord, all ye people. Praise God. And when we shout out, that means to confess the same thing with your mouth. This is the key. We confess the same thing with our mouth that God has already said in his word. You get the connection here? When we see something in the word and we begin to pray about it and we begin to put it in our proclamation that we're going to do, every day you should wake up and you should proclaim some things. You should proclaim victory based on Scripture, based on not how you feel. You could wake up like me. I could hardly get out of bed this morning because my back was still in bed and I was limping around like it. My wife said, maybe you're just old. Now, how silly is that? Oh, hate it when she's true. A proclamation is a confession that you agree with the word of God. And when you do that, this releases God's power into the situation. It works because the Bible says in Jeremiah 1 and 2, in the New International Version, 1:12, right? The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The Lord said unto me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. So he's waiting for us to execute his judgments on this earth. He has so much he wants to do for you and do for me, but we get hung up. Let's read that, everybody. You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Once you speak it, things begin to happen in the supernatural, praise God. When we believe God's word, mountains can move, and they can be tossed into the sea. We can cast out demons. We can heal the sick. We can stop the mouths of lions. We can take on a 10-foot giant with a slingshot. Why? Because look what David did. He had no script there. He didn't have any scripture in front of him. All he said, thou uncircumcised Philistine, you come after me with a sword and a spear, but I come after you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, not only that, I'm going to cut off your head. God honor his word, because it was his will for that giant to be defeated. Only one man had the intestinal fortitude, we can't say guts, to stand up and do what he did. Praise God. I will stop. This is why they only let me preach every 6 months. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's lift up our hands and get this back. God can do anything. Heavenly Father, we ask that you come down and bring us back into a spiritual realm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think all of you know that Moses was given a rod by God. That rod gave him, it was God's authority in that rod. It was not Moses, but that rod was the instrument in God's hand. God has given his church a rod of sorts. It's called the Holy Bible, and that is God's authority for this planet. And when we understand and believe that, we begin to speak his word with authority. We begin to talk as if we believed it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God, I believe, and our pastor's been talking to us about the next phase, the next dimension of our revival. And this is going to be an exciting time. But when I was studying for this message, God led me to 2 Chronicles, a very familiar passage of Scripture. But I saw something in 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15 that I had never really considered before. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if the people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. How do you humble yourselves? It's not being meek. It's by fasting. That word we just love. Prayer and fasting. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Verse 15 is what God brought my attention to. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Until we get to a point where we're willing to humble ourselves with prayer and fasting, we're not going to see anything but human effort, and it's not a bad thing. We got a lot of hard workers in this place. But God is attent when you put some skin in the game. Listen, when you pray and you fast and couple that with fasting, those of you who are not new in the church, you know what happened. At the beginning of this year, our pastor led us on a prolonged Daniel fast, 21 days. And what happened there was amazing to me. Having been here 35 years, I saw so many wonderful things, so many deliverance, so many people that were healed. And why is that? Because God, we had God's attention. He saw that we were serious. There was more people fasting than weren't fasting. It wasn't this one day a week when you go up your hand deal. This is, when you put your hand up for that, if you have any kind of integrity, it's going to be 21 days or some part of that. And, you know, when you give an oath to God, if you will, you ought to keep it. Really, you should be very careful about what you say or what you do, because if you don't keep these promises, hallelujah, you're lying. You don't want to be caught as a liar. Praise God. And if you're here this evening, I need to tell you, you are in the right place if you're hungry. God will meet you right here where you are. You don't have to have a 12-week Bible study. We don't have a whole lot of visitors here tonight, but I'll tell you this. There's some of you that are hiding from God. I said, there's some of you that are hiding from God, and you're hiding things from God that are keeping you from going to the next dimension. I'm not talking about serious sin. Sometimes you see that. But most of the time, it's something that happened in their past, and they have a root of bitterness, or they have something going on that they cannot let go of because they feel justified for what happened to them. Anybody relate to that? Don't have to raise your hand, but it does happen. Some people haven't spoken tongues for years, and they continue to come to church and continue to play church, but inside of them, they don't have anything. Praise God. It grieves me. Hallelujah. So if you're here tonight, you can receive from God whatever you need. Why leave the house of God? Why leave here when the promises of God are so varied in so many? Just think what's going on in your life right now. Some people are desperately lonely, and they just can't tell anybody. Some people have broken hearts. Some people have sicknesses going on that's been plaguing them for years, praise God. But I'm here to tell you tonight, this is your day. This is your night. This is the time that you can receive everything that God has for you if you'll be willing to proclaim it, praise God. Since our fast in January, I've saw more miracles in Calvary Gospel Church than I've seen in 35 years. Some people didn't receive it. Some of you still have your promises stolen. Some of you have given back. Paris used to sing that song, I want it all back. You got to have that determination. I want it all back. It's not yours, it's mine. I claim every promise that I have. If you're feeling any different than you did when you're at your best spiritual peak, you have had something stolen from you. Anybody with me on that? Listen, we can't become so mature that we don't have to run the aisles. We can't be so mature we don't have tears flowing down our eyes. We can't be so mature that we're too busy for Bible studies. We're too busy to make telephone calls to brothers and sisters in need and open up our wallets in the name of Jesus Christ. If you want the promises of God and you want to be able to proclaim them, you need to fight for them. Because the enemy, when you begin to fight for the things that are yours, you will have a frontal assault from Satan and his friends. But listen, he cannot win the battle if you faint not. If you keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, you're going to receive as a man sows, so shall he reap. Are you hungry enough for this? I said, are you hungry enough for this? Hallelujah. What are we going to do with 3,000 people on Pentecost Sunday? How about we baptize them in Lake Mendota? That would be a good start. We can find a way to accommodate. You know, anytime God brings something to the church, he always makes a way. There's always a way. He would never bring people that could not be ministered to. But in Psalms 149, 5 and 9, I believe these are some of the most powerful scriptures in the entire Bible. It gives the church such authority, it's almost frightening. And we can execute God's will in any and all circumstances. Let's read Psalm 149:4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. You ever sing in your bed? Hallelujah. Hope Glenn doesn't, but just kidding. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, this is the part that's amazing. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings and with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, demons, spiritual wickedness in high places, whatever it might be. Now listen to this. In Psalms 149:9, he gives us all this so we can execute judgment on them, the written judgment, the written judgment. What would he be talking about, the written judgment? It's that Holy Bible that's sitting on your counter. That is the written judgment. It has a solution. It has the judgment for every single thing that's going on in our lives. And if we have the high praises in our mouths and that two-edged sword, that Bible, not just, I think it's in chapters 20, no, maybe 22. I'm talking, if it's in your heart, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you don't have a passion for living for God, you won't be here that long. Seriously, you have to light the fire every single day. And if you're not feeling the passion, listen, you can have it back. Don't just sit there and stew about all your problems. Start proclaiming what you want God to do. Have you ever noticed in most cases when Jesus came up to people that were in need, and why would you ask a blind man with a blind cloak on, what would you have me do for you? He says, well, I want a Cadillac. No. He wanted his sight. But Jesus made him ask him what he wanted. And I believe it's the same principle here, and you find that many times in the ministry of Jesus Christ. So you can't have things hidden in your heart that you're not consistently proclaiming victory over. I might be bound, but God is going to set me free. And when I am set free, I shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. I have no joy right now, but when God gives me this joy, I'm going to have this joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Nobody's smiling over here. You guys okay? Oh, I'm sorry. You have to turn your cell phones off to get a smiley face. Ooh. Ooh. Sorry. I just couldn't help it. Told you I was feeling great. It's important to understand we don't make the judgments of God. All we do is tell people. All we do is witness to people. We tell people what's going to happen. Ezekiel made it quite plain. If you get around somebody who's not living right, you can't just walk away from him. You've got to give him enough information to tell him, hey, if you don't repent, you're going to lose this battle. You've got to be able to tell him. If you say, oh, I can't do that. If you don't, their blood will be upon your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm getting sick and tired of the sons of Ishmael cutting up people, beheading people, and doing all these atrocities all over the world. I'm not against Muslim. I'm against terrorist groups. Now, here we're sitting with all the authority to execute judgment on the heathen. We could pray a prayer tonight that could put ISIS out of business. Listen, I've been around long enough to know that when we missed our opportunity in the 60s, when the court system threw Jesus Christ out of the school systems, we sat there and said, this is terrible. This is horrible. But we didn't say, let's get together, let's pray and fast and proclaim victory over this. Let's get every church in town to begin to proclaim the word of the Lord. And then they took Jesus out of the government, out of the park systems, and you know, they didn't take Buddha out. They didn't take Hare Krishna out. They didn't take any Hindu thing out. They took Jesus out. So when that was all done, then he decided in the 70s, let's legalize abortion. We thought, that's horrible. They would never do that. 50 million or more babies have been murdered. And where was the church? Am I singing a song here? I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just telling you, and we look at the headlines instead of being amazed and maybe sick of what's going on. Let's take action. Let's get together. Let's pray. God, you said that we could execute judgment on the wicked. You told me that this is going to happen. Now, God, these are the last days. We need to take control back from forces of evil. They are being led by an evil king. The God of this world is driving these people, just like he drove Adolf Hitler, just like he drove Mussolini, and all of these evil forces. There is a spirit behind them, and we have the authority to execute judgment against them by the written word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So, I don't know if anybody's getting this or not, but if you have some issues in your life, even if you don't have some issues in your life, you need to pray the headlines, you need to put together. If you don't do this every day, it's not going to help you. Seriously, you'll still have the spirit of heaviness. You'll still have these issues in your life. But if you get out the promises of God and pray that God would give you the rights, if you don't have the ability to get those together, come to me. I will put some lists of proclamations for you if you give me your word that you'll continue to proclaim them every day. It only take maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but if you do that, you have a guarantee victory here. The things you're struggling with will be dissipated. They'll go away. Praise God. All things will become new. Are you ready for new? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we can make proclamations for everything. You know, some people have habitually struggled with finances. Listen, why don't you get into the scripture and begin to proclaim God's promises for your finances? If you're having, if your relatives are lost, pray specific prayers for them in wisdom and understanding that they would understand what you're trying to get to them. You need to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. We need boldness. We need our hearts to be broken before God. We can't have anything in our hearts that would keep us from going to the next level. When people make their own proclamations, what happens is that there's fallow ground in your spirit. You know what that is? That you've been doing the same thing for so long, it's hardened. And you talk to anybody that's in farming, and they'll tell you, don't be going throwing away good seed if you have not broken up your fallow ground. You break it up by continually proclaiming, continually praying, continually to... I weep before God almost every day because I want more of God. This can't be all that I can have. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want to be able to see people flowing into this building. I want to see portable baptismal tanks all over the building. I want to see Pastor's vision of 20,000 people come to pass. But I believe it can happen, but I have not received it yet. So you keep on proclaiming until you receive. Does that make any sense? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've heard people say, God loves me just the way I am. I'd like to add just another truth to that. He loves you too much to leave you that way. When he found most of us, he loved us in spite of all of our sin, in spite of all our iniquity. But he loved us too much to allow us to say that. And I thank God for that, because I was alcoholic and drugs and everything you could possibly imagine. He loved me before the foundation of the world that I should be holy and without blame before him in love. How could he possibly love some of you and me in that pitiful condition that we're in? That's the type of love that God wants us to show people. You know, I put together just a list of things that I pray for. The Bible says, the Lord is rich Thomas's shepherd. He shall not want. My God shall supply all of Rich Thomas's need. When Rich Thomas asks anything according to God's will, God hears him. And when I know he hears me, I receive everything I ask for. Rich Thomas can do all things through Christ Jesus, who is his strength. Rich Thomas is now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and dominion and might in every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Rich Thomas has the mind of Christ. Praise God. And listen, I don't have these things, but I'm proclaiming them because I want to receive them. I believe that I can have it, but for me to receive them, I have to continue to pound on heaven's door. Hallelujah. When Rich Thomas resists the devil, he will flee from him. Praise God. If you'll stand with me, I want you to know, no matter what your need is tonight, you all need to be proclaiming God's answer to your situation. Over the years, I've seen people hide and they hide and they hide and they hide. And finally, you look around and say, where's so-and-so? Oh, they're not coming back to church. Really? Because you don't know. You come to people, they shake their hand, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And you don't know what's going on in their life. They praise, they worship, they paid their tithes, but inside of them, they never dealt with the issues that were in their life. We have to deal with these. Pay me now, pay me later. I don't know about you, but I want to have all my issues under the blood. I want the blood of Jesus Christ to be upon everything that I say and everything I do. Anything less than that is not good enough. Every one of us have been given spiritual gifts. They're not the same, but everybody has some gift to give the Lord. Whatever it might be, you need to take it and give it to Jesus. And you need to proclaim it. If you don't have a ministry, you need to pray that God would open up a door for your ministry. Be not slothful in your work for the Lord. Do not think for a minute that he's not keeping score. But he's desperately trying to get our attention. God is a spirit. The only way he can speak to us is through pastors, preaching, and the word of God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands with you and pray. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm asking you right now, if there's anybody in this building tonight that needs a refreshing, that needs to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, that has some issues they have not resolved. Some people are sitting here tonight with a root of bitterness and they've never been able to get rid of it. They've never even thought that there was a way out because they've had it for so long. Some people have lust in their heart and they don't know how to get rid of it. We all have issues. We all have problems. The only real problem we have is bringing it to the Lord. Proclaim victory in Jesus' name. I said, proclaim victory in Jesus' name. Let's all say, I proclaim victory in Jesus' name. I proclaim victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's begin to worship the Lord with all of our heart. Let's begin to proclaim those things that we want God to do in our life. It doesn't make any difference. You may think it's hidden, but it's not hidden to God. All he wants you to do is examine yourself. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. He strengthens me every single day that I go to him. Every single time I pray, I can feel his presence. And I trust and I believe there's some people here tonight that are ready to make the next step as our pastor leads us into this new dimension. Are you ready to receive it? Jesus' precious name. Feel free to come down here, but please worship the Lord until you feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hold on.